The next case is 96-1006, Freedom Road Foundation versus Ohio Department of Liquor Control. Mr. Lyman.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, Justices of the Ohio Supreme Court. My name is Chester Lyman. I'm a case attorney general representing the Ohio Department of Public Safety. With me today is Mr. Simon Terrace, the Attorney General's office, who also represents the Department of Public Safety. This time I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Watch your time there, Mr. Clark.
The Department of Public Safety is a successor in interest to the Department of Liquor Control Enforcement Division for purposes of carrying out and enforcing the Ohio liquor law. They are therefore substituted as a party in this action. We have appealed this action because we believe that the Fifth District Court of Appeals heard and properly framed the issue that should have been decided is whether a liquor establishment may allow its employees to sell schemes of chance on behalf of insurance organizations on liquor establishments.
But correct, there is no actual underlying case underneath. This is just a deck action, correct?
That's correct.
They're not appealing an actual decision that you have made against a particular agency.
That is correct, Your Honor, and that's what we try to emphasize in the court below, that the difficulties we've had in these particular cases, that there is no factual basis on which the courts may have properly made a determination and to make a rule of law.
So we really don't have any employees we can go and ask how much we allow, how much work you allow to, what coercion we told that this is part of your job. You know, we don't have any basis on which to get answers to those questions, do we?
That is correct, Justice Stratton. And in fact, that is one of the reasons why we submitted this matter to this court. We believe that a remand as ordered by the Fifth District Court of Appeals would not resolve the controversy and would not allow for a complete determination of the issues that were brought before the court. We don't have a factual basis in which to make a determination. In fact, there are 25,000 liquor permit holders in the state of Ohio. If the Freedom Road Foundation wished to make inroads in each one of those, we could potentially have 25,000 different factual scenarios in which to make a determination as to whether or not that employee's conduct or that permit holder's conduct violated the provisions of 2915.02 or the Administrative Code Regulation 53.
Well,
And the main source of their fundraising is this, going to liquor establishments and having their tickets sold. They don't sell them at fairs or bingos or not bingos, we can't do that, at fairs or other, they do it through liquor establishments, correct?
That's correct, Justice Stratton. In fact, we may have had other indications outside of the scope of this case that they have the other fundraising activities.
Well, then if remand isn't a good idea, maybe we should just affirm the Court of Appeals and enter a final judgment for appellee.
Well, we believe that would be the incorrect result, because the Court of Appeals would still have the issue undecided. We would still be deciding issues in a vacuum. And as we've indicated, the determination of whether or not a violation on a liquor establishment by that federal occurred is within the confines of the authority of the Liquor Control Commission under its statutory authority.
We really have two issues here. Your first issue is, do they even have standing to bring this case, and doesn't the declaratory judgment section say any person who is affected thereby has a right to bring the case?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
We have questions in reverse order, but the real issue is whether or not a person can conduct that activity on a liquor permit establishment with employee or
Now, that issue comes down to, are they volunteers? That gets us to the merits of the case. My case is, sometimes I go out and during the day, lunchtime particularly, and help serve food at a homeless shelter. I'm being paid by the state of Ohio, at least for 24 hours a day, but certainly for 10 hours a day. During that period of time, am I still not a volunteer even though I'm being paid?
Well, that may be an issue as to whether or not you're receiving compensation in terms of your...
They don't pay me anything at the homeless shelter.
Well, whether or not your meal is considered...
I don't eat there.
Well, I think in that particular case, you may volunteer, and you may be considered a volunteer.
Now, what these folks are doing, they're saying that they give you a Diet Coke or whatever they serve in their liquor establishments, mm-hmm. and at the same time, they sell you a tip ticket. They aren't being paid for it.
The specific statutory prohibition, Justice Douglas, is under Crime Act 1502D2E, which says a person shall not receive any commission, any tip, any gratuity, any compensation, directly or indirectly. That's a pretty strict restriction on that particular.
Now, do you have any proof that any of these people are in fact receiving any additional compensation because as part of serving the alcohol, when somebody says, I want one of those charitable tip tickets, they give them a charitable tip ticket too and put the dollar or whatever it is in a bottle here for the charity, and the $2.50 for the Diet Coke into the register.
That is precisely the difficulty that we have. We don't have the evidence of that. We don't know what activities there. The specific suggestion that we have made to the courts that they have not accepted is that it has to be determined on a case-by-case basis. And in doing so, in the cases we've cited regarding injunctions, which they've sought in this particular case, against law enforcement personnel, and against the Department of Liquor Control Enforcement personnel, is that we don't have a factual scenario here.
The department was made a party in this case. Did you not have the right to seek the depositions of the employees of the appellee? And did you do that? Did you do any discovery at all to determine these facts that you say we're now bereft of?
That is precisely the difficulty that has been involved in this case, Justice Douglas, is that we don't have an actual case or controversy. That's what we tried to point out to the court below. That in the absence of an actual case, in the absence of a citation of a liquor permit holder, the Department of Liquor Control does have enforcement authority over, we would not have the ability to determine the factual basis upon which a declaratory judgment would be the proper remedy or source of relief.
Thus, you don't have any evidence to show that these people would be doing this even if they weren't getting paid as bartenders.
That's correct, Justice.
Norris would be a true volunteer if you questioned the bartenders and said, listen, would you be pushing these tickets if you weren't here being paid as a bartender? And if they said, oh, I'd come in here 2 or 3 hours a day and I'd do that for the charity, then you wouldn't have any problem, then that they would be a true volunteer, right?
That's correct, Justice Sweeney. In fact, that's the inclination that Judge Miller indicated in her opinion, that apparently on the basis of this case and the related case, the Brock case, but for their appointment, these people would not be volunteers of Freedom Road, and therefore they would not be conducting this activity. The fact of the matter is they're still employees of the establishment. 29-1502 and Regulation 53 of the Ohio Administrative Code does not give those individuals that right to do that particular activity. The suggestion is certainly that they're excluded.
This is Freedom Road's case. I mean, they filed a declaratory judgment action. That's correct?
That's correct.
And I guess I think it must have been their burden to show that since the employees were selling the tip tickets while they were working during working hours. I guess we know at least that much, do we, from the record?
There is no dispute as to whether or not the employees were involved in this particular activity. In fact, the testimony of Douglas, I believe the record, indicates
Well, I guess I would think if it's their declaratory judgment action, they have some burden to show that they're not prohibited from the statute for doing what they are doing, that is giving the tickets to the employees who sell them. And I guess I would assume from what the trial court says that specifically finds that but for the volunteer's employment on the permit premises, they would not volunteer their services, in their essence incorporating their volunteer activities in their compensated activities. It's a conclusion of law, but it's also finding a fact, it seems to me, at least it's based on fact. So I guess I'm not sure why the department is in the position of having to prove that Freedom Road didn't violate the statute. I mean, I think that's their declaratory judgment action. They want a preliminary injunction, which doesn't seem to me they need. If they get the declaratory judgment, we don't usually issue injunctions against state agencies. So I'm sort of making your argument for you, but I'm a little confused as to why. You know, why isn't there burden to show that they didn't comply with the statute? We've got a bit of a record here. We have a finding from the trial court, and the Court of Appeals made a legal decision, it seems to me, at least a mixed legal decision, and they sent it back. I don't know what more on the remand, what more needs to be determined than what the trial court had here.
We agree, Mr. Chief Justice, that a remand would not provide additional information or would not further clarify the matter. And I appreciate your comments and concerns. Those are exactly the ones that we've attempted to make in this particular matter. Unfortunately, the trial court did decide to go ahead and proceed with the case. We made protestations at the trial court level and at the Court of Appeals level that we did not have an actual case of controversy. We did not have the necessary parties to do that. If the determination is going to be made as to whether or not this conduct should be permitted or a liquor permit establishment, we need to establish facts of that conduct by those employees. I don't want to make any rules argument for either, but they have attempted to try to suggest that conduct should be expanded broadly to definition to say that to be the promotion of backing, being the source of this activity, is sufficient conduct in order to allow it to say that we're doing this activity on a premises and not anybody else. Well, that simply cannot hold any kind of merit, because if that were the case, then certainly I would realize my lifelong ambition of directing a diplomacy to the orchestra by sending a check to them saying that I'm a backer and supporter, therefore I'm conducting a diplomacy to the orchestra. But I don't think because I send a check to them, they're going to let me on stage and become the maestro or anything. I don't have control.
I'll take your check.
Not big enough, apparently. The problem is that the conduct is that of the individual permit holders.
Could I interrupt you, because I see your time's almost up, Mr. Lyman? That's where I'd like to talk about that. If we know that the state accepts and permits these kinds of chance things to go on in bars, right? The code says, you know, this rule shall not prohibit a game of contest so long as it's done in accordance with these. Okay, so we have to start with that. And see if you follow me through this. And then D says, shall be conducted by a certain kind of organization, and all the money shall go to that organization, essentially. Would you agree with that?
That's correct.
And so I think our issue is what's conducted, and we have this whole concept that's floating around in the briefs about whether or not these people are volunteers, whether the barmaids and the help in the taverns have to be volunteers in order for this to meet the definition of conduct.
Let me respond to that by saying first that Rule 53 tends to allow that particular conduct, whereas 29.502 appears to prohibit it. That may be an issue for some other determination, some other court proceeding. But it appears, for the sake of this argument, that the courts below have accepted that at this point. I don't know if that's controllable, because that issue was not directly raised and decided as to whether or not even that conduct should be permitted at a local permit establishment. Assuming
Lyman. Mr. Gleason.
Good morning. May I please report, counsel? My name is John Gleason, and I represent Freedom of the Foundation in this action. As an initial matter, I'm not sure if the commission will be by the insurance industry earlier today, but I believe this is the first time I've ever heard the state say that a non-employee of a permit premises can sit in a liquor permit premises and sell tip tickets on behalf of the charity. They have not said that. I believe that is clearly the law. And I believe that is a big admission by the department. It is the first time they have done that, and it is the reason why we are before this court today. Because the issue is whether the charitable fundraising activities of Freedom Road comply with 2915.02D1 and Regulation 53.
What evidence do we have in the record of any, quote, volunteers, end of quote, that said, yeah, we were doing it as volunteers?
The testimony at trial was from the president of Freedom Road, who testified that there are volunteers that can be either actual employees of Freedom Road, the bartenders, the bar owners, or other individuals that I think is, Justice Douglas indicated, just goes in and volunteers their time and sells tip tickets.
Yeah.
That was the testimony.
I understand that testimony, but there were no bar employees that were called to ask if they were volunteers, were there?
No, that is correct.
All right, let me tell you why I'm going to that question. Why would you not have, under I think it's probably Rule 19.1, made a liquor establishment, or the one that maybe is even in question here, a party plaintiff or defendant, so that you'd have that testimony, so we'd have a complete record, so you'd have a case or controversy?
We believe the simple fact that Freedom Road's property was taken. I mean, there is no dispute. The evidence in trial demonstrated that, as Judge Miller specifically found, Freedom Road's property was taken by the department. That, we believe, is a sufficient case for controversy. They have a material interest in the enforcement of Regulation 53. There was testimony that this had continually happened. Maybe I'll step back. This case, the present case, came because a similar action had been filed in 1991. An injunction prohibiting the department's enforcement activities was entered by the trial court, was continued by a criminal trial. And then in that case, the Franklin County and District Court of Appeals held that Freedom Road is not complying with the statute because the bar owner of the permit premises was receiving what was called rent. Basically, they were receiving rent proceeds for letting Freedom Road be in that permit premises. Freedom Road changed the way they did their program. They stopped providing any compensation to the bar owner, any compensation to the employees.
Yes, sir. We've read the briefs,
okay,
and we understand that switch in these cases. Let's go back to your issue of what we're talking about, the case or controversy. Chief Justice raised an interesting point about the, in effect, I think what he's suggesting is the shifting of the burden of proof here. Is it your contention that because they confiscated, you object to that, they have the burden to show that you violate the statute rather than you have the burden to show that the statute was not violated?
I believe that's true, but I also believe we've met our burden that we have not, that we are in compliance with the statute. The statute, as set forth in the briefs, requires that a 501c3 charity conduct the sale of schemes and shams, that all of the proceeds, except for the prizes paid out, go to the 501c3 charity. The testimony trial, which was not contested by the department, the department did do a deposition in this case. They had every opportunity to ask people if they were volunteers or get all the evidence that they now say isn't there. The simple fact is that the Freedom Road established all of the elements required by Regulation 53 and 2915.02D1. And because of that, it's satisfying those requirements and the actions are in compliance.
So Regulation 53 doesn't apply to Freedom Road, does it? That's half the problem here. That applies to liquor establishments.
Correct, but the enforcement of that regulation directly impacts Freedom Road, and that was the case.
But you said you complied with Reg 53, and Freedom Road really wouldn't, and that's part of our issue here.
Freedom Road technically didn't need to comply with Reg 53.
For sure,
53.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay.
But by complying with 2915.02d1, the prohibition in Regulation 53, which says you can't sell fifth figures, you can't gamble bars.
Yeah, I know. You say it would follow, that 53 would be complied with by your taverns that you like to, that you need to use. This is a declaratory judgment. What precisely did you seek the lower court to declare?
We sought the lower court to declare the activities engaged in by Freedom Road, which were testified to at trial, which were not disputed by the department, comply with 2915.02. And we believe they do, because the testimony specifically provided that Freedom Road conducts the scheme of chance by, and this is the definition of conduct in 2915.01t, promoting the sale. There was testimony they would put signs up. This was being done for Freedom Road, that...
Wait a minute. Let's follow that, because I do not have to go through each of those. Aren't those words promote, manage, back? Aren't those in the statute in the disjunctive?
Yeah,
you only have to do one
correct.
Or the other.
Correct.
Is now. So why do you need to show us, why do we need specific... Well, I take it that you, and you have made an argument, that those are broad terms. So does the actual selling, do we need this whole issue of volunteers?
I don't believe so, because the issue is whether Freedom Road conducts it,
If you take the position that a court can declare that their broad meaning of back doesn't encompass the selling, because conduct can be just broad as back or manage, then we might not need the testimony. We can do it as a matter of law, construe the statute under the declaratory judgment powers, and not need the issue of whether or not people in the, it has to be your people in the bars or the bar employees.
And I think that is correct, because all the statute requires is that it's conducted by Freedom Road. It doesn't go on to say that other people
cannot sell.
I mean, the thing is, charities, they only act through their volunteers, as Justice Douglas indicated. It happens all the time, and it's one of the ways charities function. If a determination has to be, well, are you getting anything out of this and you're not a volunteer, any charity will be harmed a lot.
Well, let's talk about charities for a minute. I realize this is not an integral part of the case, but I'm interested in this. How much does Freedom Road gross up with this activity?
At that time, it was several hundreds of thousands of dollars. The testimony at trial, which again was undisputed by the department, demonstrated that 85% of the net proceeds went back to the 501c3 charity.
The net proceeds, I assume, that's after you take how much of the gross.
Net proceeds are the actually net and gross kind of big money here, because the gross proceeds includes the prizes that are paid out. The bag of tickets would generate $1,080. $820 of that would go back to prizes. So
we're not dealing here with a scheme in which some entrepreneur is making a fat living and breaking off the rule for charity.
No, and in fact, the evidence was that 85% of the proceeds go back to the 501c3 charity, which compares to, at that time, between 11 and 20% with respect to all other charities, and those figures were provided by the Attorney General's Department of Charitable Foundations. And Mr. Lyon, even at trial, admitted that Freedom Road does do good work in the community. So there is maybe an undertow in the department's brief, specifically a charity, but we believe, again, the evidence is undisputed. There are pictures in the record, there's letters, testimonials showing that they do good work in the community.
Counsel, I have a question. My notes, maybe you can answer this question for me. My note says, if Freedom Road's sole fundraising activities consists of selling tip tickets at taverns and bars throughout Ohio. Why is that?
It is a fundraising tool that Freedom Road uses.
No, solely in bars and taverns in the state of Ohio. Why is that?
As opposed to on the street corner or things like
that? Yeah, I mean, why would they pick solely, and my notes say solely, in taverns and bars throughout Ohio?
I think it's the reason why the lottery commission also sells lottery tickets in bars.
Well, they have, you can go to this Ohio gas station and get a lottery ticket.
It was just a way that they believed there were people in the bars, the frequent bar establishments, that like to...
Because people are more prone while they're drinking that they would buy things like this?
That may be.
That may be.
I mean, I don't know why people buy these when they're
bought. My question is simple. Maybe I'm too simple. It's why only sell in bars and taverns? Why did your organization pick those places to do that?
As opposed to
grocery stores, as, you know.
They were able to, there were bars that, going on standing outside the street corner was not a good idea.
Well, why wasn't a lot of people do that?
That I'm not sure of.
What disturbs me, that your sole activity are in bars and taverns. And I just want a realistic answer why that disturbs me. Why does that cause me some problem? You're not sure?
People in bars do like to gamble, and is allowed by the statute.
And isn't that why the state of Ohio feels that it should be regulated strictly because of the propensities of people in bars after they've been drinking are a little less than before they were?
And
shouldn't those regulations be strictly adhered to?
Yes, and I believe they are. If the department, in its very own regulations, would say there can be no gambling on permit premises, no exceptions.
Maybe they should.
Maybe they should. They don't. I mean, in fact, in Regulation 53 that says gambling in bars is permitted as long as you comply with Plan 1502, that is the same regulation where it says, and the lottery commission can sell lottery tickets in bars. So I understand your concern, and maybe you shouldn't be able to.
Is there any other charitable, quote unquote, charitable organizations that only sell or try to or attempt to sell in bars and taverns, to your knowledge? You do a lot of this work, don't you?
Well, there are other charities that do this. Freedom Road is not
solely
one. I think so.
You think so?
Yes. And I know other charitable organizations, although it may not be solely, casino nights, things like that, are situations where there is alcohol involved and there's these tickets are being sold. And if that decision is made that you shouldn't be able to do that, you shouldn't be able to get a beer and a ticket, I think that's a decision that should be made by the legislature or the regulation changed by the department that they haven't done. And that's, I guess, and my time is about up. And
I have a question for you, because it seems to me I haven't heard an answer to the question that I thought the case had decided on, but maybe I'm wrong. The trial court's finding of facts include the volunteers sell tip tickets to patrons in addition to carrying out their other duties in the liquor establishments. Tip tickets and so forth not sold outside the taverns. Isn't the issue whether that, as you know, the regulation references D2 of the statute, of 02 D2. Sounds like a game here. But isn't the question whether the persons in the bar, the taverns, who are selling the tickets are somehow receiving compensation, wage, salary, award, tip, donation, gratuity, or other form of compensation, directly or indirectly, for operating or assisting in the operation of a scheme of chance? Isn't that the issue?
First, I will say that section, which is relied upon by the department, which is in 2915 02 D2E,
right.
Does
Okay, tell me, why does it not apply to D1? It's because the regulation refers to it. It says you can have a game of chance in a liquor establishment, as I read it, as long as you comply with D.
But 2915.02.
All of D. Yeah.
2915.02.
Yeah, well, it sounds like
D1 sets forth the requirements. That's all you have to comply with, the requirements in D1. D2E does not apply to D1. The reason in Regulation 53 it says all of D is because Regulation 53 talks also in terms of games of chance,
right,
which are set forth in D2. But even if the court were to hold that D2E applies to D1, the testimony of the evidence at trial is that the bar owners and the employees are not receiving any compensation from Freedom Road.
No, but the argument I think is that since they're being compensated as bar owners or as bartenders or whatever, that while they're selling the tip tickets, that's an indirect form of compensation. That as a part of their activity while they're in the tavern, while they're there for whatever 8 hours, one of the things they do is they sell beer or liquor, and the other thing they do is they sell tip tickets, and that's indirectly being compensated. Is that the argument?
I believe if that is the argument, that was required, that was the burden of the department to submit evidence to that effect, and there is no evidence.
Well, but the trial court found that that's what they were doing. The volunteers sell tip tickets to patrons in addition to carrying out their other duties in liquor establishment. That makes a legal question, doesn't it? The question then is, does that violate the statute? That activity, that factual conduct, does that violate the statute? Seems to me that's why I don't understand why the Court of Appeals sent it back to and remand. The Court of Appeals says remand the trial court initially must determine whether Freedom violates RC 2915.02 requirement that it conducts a scheme of chance if it allows bar employees to sell tip tickets without compensation from Freedom Road. That's not a factual issue. That's a legal issue.
I guess if the court were to hold that you can't volunteer while you're on the clock.
Well, that's the argument, I think.
That's a correct reading of the statute, especially since D2E, as the 10th District previously found, does not apply to future monsters. My time is up. I would just like to ask the court. Basically, Freedom Road has shown that it complies with the statute. Those facts, which were out of a specific set of facts, were not disputed by the department, and therefore we would request that the court enter a declaratory judgment that Freedom Road's activities, as testified to the trial, comply with 2916.02 D1 and Regulation 53.
Thank you, Mr. Gleason. Mr. Lyman, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds if you like.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. The question is, does compensation have to come from Freedom Road? The answer is simply no. The prohibition against direct or indirect compensation.
Does D2, do you say, Mr. Lyman, that D2E is applicable here, even though it's with regard to games of chance?
It is, Justice. So D3 is a general application that applies to any scheme for game of chance, and it encompasses the entire provisions of 2915.02. Judge Miller, in her decision, says that but for the activities of these employees on the establishment, they would not volunteer their services. That's a specific finding of fact, and which she prohibited. In fact, there is a synergistic effect. By selling these tip tickets in bars, these employees, these permit holders, do have a relationship with Freedom Row such that they increase their patronage and they provide money to Freedom Row. That is the indirect compensation that they're receiving. There's no question that that could and would happen for rent purposes this decision for allowing it. For these reasons, we ask for reversal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lyman. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.